Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worthit.
Hi, I'm Imri, the host of the Wannabe Podcast, the podcast that takes you from where you are now to where you want to be in 30 minutes or less. Thank you so much for joining me again for another week of the podcast. So, just a quick announcement, I will be doing a growth strategies course as part of the We Heart Mondays Black Girl Magic Academy. The first class starts on Wednesday the 28th of April. So visit weheartmondays.com/growth and use code IMRI10 to get £10 off your class. I will see you there. This week, brand and marketing expert Prisca Moyesa of Moyesa Co. is back for our monthly session, and today we are answering your questions, which include, what equipment should I use to start my podcast? Is it worth doing Instagram or Facebook Lives? How do I build my email list? And how do you ask strangers to be on your podcast? Let's go. Hi Prisca, how are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you. And you?
I'm so good. There's a lot happening.
Yeah, there is.
I've been having to share with you what's happening. You know some stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
Which is exciting.
Yeah, it sounds dope.
But yeah, you also seem to have a lot of things happening.
Yeah, a lot. I'm not stressed out about it. I'm just like, time is everything now. Like literally, time is precious.
I hear you on that. I feel that, but I'm actually stressing and I'm overwhelmed.
Don't stress.
I'm always overwhelmed.
Don't stress. It's never that serious.
I know it's not that deep. It's just, you know, like actually at the moment, what it is that there's so many good things happening yeah. that it's actually really overwhelming me because all of the choices are good.
Yeah.
All of the, it's a really nice position to be in, but I was not expecting to be so massively overwhelmed by things. So we are back this week with listener questions.
Yeah.
We have some juicy ones. So you're right there, Prisca.
Yeah, I'm good.
You good? You're alive?
I'm here. I'm awake. I'm here.
Okay, cool. So the first listener question is, hi, I'm currently working on a solo podcast and I have my cover art, my guests and my background music, but now I'm stuck on where to start. Like what equipment to buy and if I should get a website up and running as well. I'm starting to feel overwhelmed and would like to know what are the best starting steps to making a podcast from Shanice.
So I would say the fact that a project like starting a podcast is overwhelming you already mm-hmm. is a little bit worrying. So try and start small. Don't stress yourself too much. You can start from your mobile phone if we're very honest. It's not always about going big immediately. There's a platform called Anchor,
yep.
which has just been released, which allows you to record things straight from your phone and you can upload them in really creative ways. So that's good. And uploading that and starting all these different social media pages would be a good move as well. And then building traction from there. It's not even worth investing in a website immediately. Mm-hmm. Let your community almost drive how much you grow. Mm-hmm. So build that following and almost let them demand and let them demand those things from you. You know, people will speak on the sound quality if need be.
Yep.
People will give you that feedback. So I would be patient and wait for them to communicate what they want from you. But it shouldn't stress you out. And also I will say, don't feel like you can't bring somebody in on that. Like getting somebody to join your podcast and co-host with you is a good move. And it allows you to relieve all the stress of just organizing it and starting it and building the community and tweeting and posting and stuff like that. Yeah, that's my bit of advice. What about you, Imri?
Oh, so many things. I think you wrote a great start. Cover art is usually the longest thing for us. I don't even know why. It should be the easiest, but it's not. cover art and guest, like, you know what you want. It sounds like you're in a really good place. So you have started. In terms of equipment, I'm also not the best person to speak to, but when I got the question, I did say I would do some research. So something that we have invested in was a Zoom microphone. So Zoom have, I think they're on their sixth version of a mic. And so the older versions can cost between like maybe £100. And the newest version costs about
£325. Yeah.
That thing is...
ours was like £350 or
yeah,
something.
We got...
ours was £300 actually.
We paid like £325 with some... and we got like an Amazon deal where you got like add-ons.
But yeah.
They were like a... what are they called? A mice? The dead mouse thing. The fluffy thing that you put on the microphone.
Oh,
FA told me it was called a dead mouse, but yeah.
lied to you.
So yeah, we invested in that and I had to learn how to use that for the Ava DuVernay bonus episode that actually should be out as of this episode already. So I could figure that out in about a day, in like half a day, with like a couple of YouTube tutorials. And so I was able to record myself for the very first time. And so I would say get a H4 or a H5 if you can afford it. Even a H6, if you really want to splash out in terms of equipment, I would definitely recommend that because it's the easiest thing you can use.
Or when it comes to mics, you can just go to Argos and get a blue mic.
Oh,
and then
Blue
you
Yeti.
Can plug them. Yeah, Yeti. And you can plug them into your laptop, which is a bit annoying. But yeah, plug it into your laptop. And it's like less than £100, I think.
Yeah. Blue Yetis are really good. I know loads of people that use those as well. I've never used one, so I can't like strongly recommend one
I've
way or the
used
other.
It,
but you've
it's
used
good.
It.
Yeah. It's that's very good. Yeah. It's very clear.
That's amazing. Yeah, very, so that's good to know.
But you almost have to use like two for two people.
Yeah.
Like you could use one, but then there would be sound quality issues.
Sure.
But you could.
I mean, you can make
it work.
You can
pass the mic around. You know what I mean?
We've had to do that in the past. We try not to, but yeah. If you can get a mic per person, by all means do it. But if it's a budget thing, start small, like Priska said. You're right. You don't need a website. I was extra. I really don't need a website. I have one now. It's maintenance.
It's good for you now, though.
I like it.
Yeah, I would say a website is beneficial for you now, but your community almost drove that, knowing that there's people that are actually listening.
Yeah, and also it's really good for, in terms of just growing, developing like a wider strategy around it. So I knew I wanted to have a mailing list. I knew I wanted to distribute show notes in a more organized and structured way. So if you have like really great ambitions for what your podcast is, for your brand, and I mean like the podcast isn't your brand, you have a wider vision for it, then I would definitely say a website is something to think about, but you definitely don't need it off the start. Like they're expensive to set up and they take time to design, so you don't need one. You can get loads of like podcast profile pages that you can just put up and put your information on, and it's pretty fine. Like iTunes is a landing page for your podcast, and that's where most people are finding you anyway.
What would your advice be to her in terms of uploading her episodes?
Where to? So some people really like SoundCloud. We don't use SoundCloud anymore.
Why is that?
We stopped using it primarily because we don't feel SoundCloud is great for podcasters. Mm. In terms of just kind of the technical support and some of the analytical support, it's kind of really limited in what you can do. But what it is great for is that it's really good as a sharing tool. So getting your episodes out on social media, people can play within the browser. But I've just discovered that Spotify does the exact same thing now. I did not know you could play Spotify clips. I was blown away. I just got this like 2 days ago. So for us, we don't use it as much. Also, SoundCloud has a massive problem with like inflation of numbers. So a click counts as a play and it kind of makes it really warped. Mm. So we found that when we shifted hosting, we actually got a better representation of who's listening, how long they're listening for, where they're listening from. So all of that data and analytics is a little bit stronger on the dedicated podcast hosting platforms. So we host through Acast at the moment, but there's really great ones like Libsyn. Audio Boom is another one that you can help monetize from as well. So there's loads of really great platforms that you can use. Some of them are free, some of them are not. And I would definitely recommend shopping around for a host for a bit and find one that you can afford. If you can find one for free, do that. But try to be mindful of where you want to host, because they can cost anywhere from like £8 to like 20 at times. So other ones include Podbean as well, which is quite good for some people. And Castbox also allows you to host as well. And that's a new one who just got a ton of investment. So I would definitely recommend those. I think that's pretty much everything in how you can get started with podcasting, right? Is there anything we missed?
No.
Cool.
I don't think so.
Do you want to read the next question?
Me?
You never read the questions.
I never read the questions. Hi, Imrie and Priska. I love, 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 love these monthly question and answer sections on the podcast. I wanted to ask if you think it's worth doing Instagram or Facebook live videos. Imrie, I saw you posted about starting on Twitter. Do you think you will keep doing it? From Brandy in the US of A.
We're international. Do I think it's worth it? Well, we're doing it right now. And hi, all of the four people watching.
Oh, yay. Yay.
Do I think it's worth it? I don't know yet. I think it's too soon to tell. I really was anti-lives because I don't watch anyone's lives.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to watch them more now. Sometimes it's just people just sitting in their car having rants. And that seems to be my general experience of live videos. I think if you're going to be adding real value, like you're going to be teaching a little mini masterclass or some sort of like webinar style thing where you're passing on knowledge and information instead of ranting, I think they're probably definitely worth doing. And it's going to grow because last time I did an Instagram live, there was only one person and they were very engaged. And I really loved it. And now there's like four of you and that's amazing. So it does grow and it's growing quickly. And Instagram is pushing that more. So the more people engage with the stories and the lives, they seem to be putting that more prominent on people's like radar. So I do think it's worth it, but I can't say whether it's something I'll consistently do yet.
I think content is always worth doing. So I would say yes. If you can, you know, don't be like us and we're like posting our phones on chairs and stuff. Like get some equipment where you can post your phone like somewhere nearby. With Twitter, I actually prefer Twitter video just because most people go to Twitter to be real time. So you're probably more likely to find people on Twitter, but again, it depends on the day. And you're able to save the video on your feed on Twitter, whereas Instagram only saves for 24 hours. And Facebook, you can save that on your feed. So Facebook and Twitter are probably the best platforms. But Instagram, people are used to going to Instagram at the moment. That's where everybody's watching these live videos. Again, if you're being valuable and you're giving some type of behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So give people an insight that they know they wouldn't get from a Instagram post or a story or a tweet.
Yeah.
If you're doing that, then I 100% think it's worth doing.
Cool. I concur with Priska. She does them all the time. I actually watch yours actually, because you usually post things of like you at events and panels and things, which is really cool. And sometimes I'm just like, I just want to hear some sound bites and need some inspiration.
Yeah, I try. Did I read the last question? No, it's not the last.
It's not the last one.
It's the second to last.
Oh yeah, there's two.
Go for it. Hi ladies. I've been told to build an email list. Oh, we're just speaking on that. Any advice on how to do it? Sarah.
How to build an email list? Honestly, email is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Like, I nerd hard. And I'm actually really bad at sending emails to my actual list.
Oh.
Which is really bad. I'm really consistent. If I'm working, when I'm freelancing, I'm like, we need to do your emails. Let's just
sick.
Let's spend some time. Let's get it together.
For some stuff,
I love it. It's my favorite thing. SON's got a fantastic set of open rates of between like 25 and 30%.
Oh, that's really good, actually.
My personal open rate is like 53% or something.
This is Nicole Hannah-Jones, creator of the 1619 Project from the New York Times Magazine. The project makes a case that you don't often hear in history textbooks, that slavery was foundational to America. So it wasn't surprising that we ignited a fierce debate among historians about these issues. But that's the power of the New York Times, to spark an important dialogue with bold, rigorous reporting that forces us to examine our assumptions. To learn more, go to nytimes.com/worth it.
Nice.
Like I live for emails, like optimizing them, tweaking them, copywriting them. Love it. Everything about email just nerds
me
out.
I do love emails. Yeah, I love the designing part of it.
I don't like that part.
Oh, that's my favorite part. Just being able to move like certain elements in certain places and making sure the color's consistent and knowing my color coding and stuff like that.
I love color coding.
I think it's perfect. So, what platform do you use?
I use so many different ones. So for Wannabe, everything is on Wix, and Wix is, honestly,
Wix needs to come pay me because I tweet them and they tweet me back. It's like a beautiful relationship. So Wix shout outs have been really great because they do automation. So you can like set up a mail, set up like a freebie on your website to build your email list, which is what I have, which is an opt-in on the page. It sits at the below above the fold. For so if you don't know what a website's like, the first thing you land on a page, everything that you see as you land there is above the fold. Right. So you don't have to scroll to see it. So I have an above the fold opt-in, and Wix shout out is basically anyone that signs up through there, it goes onto my mailing list there, and then I can send emails via the shout out thing, which is ironically
where do
shout
you
out.
Collate all your emails, and where do you send them out and manage like the analytics?
Honestly, all on Wix. Shout out.
Wix,
it has analytics.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Called Wix shout out.
Yeah, so as if you have a Wix website, then you can basically, it's all integrated into the website.
Do you need a Wix website to use Wix shout out?
You probably do. So I have used MailChimp.
Yeah.
MailChimp is probably the most popular one. And you could have MailChimp for free for up to 2,000 email subscribers, which is actually quite a lot and takes some time to build anyway, unless you're like super, 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 super popular. And then in which case you start paying, but it's not like horrendous. It's like maybe £10 a month when you start going above that price, above that subscriber list. MailChimp is great. You can drag drop, you can design it however you want. It's got really great ethics. They make sure that your opt-ins and you need to start thinking about GDPR, which is how you handle people in the European Union's data and information. And you might actually need to just have like a really clear statement on your website about what you do with people's information. What MailChimp is really excellent at those kinds of things and making sure that you are in line with the laws and regulations of the EU and the UK and USA. So they're really great for that. And I also use something called Revue, which is spelled R-E-V-U-E, which is really great for newsletters. And it's really straightforward. I don't have to, because I don't like designing too much because I'm not a natural born designer. I'm getting better. But Revue is just a newsletter format, and you kind of just add headers, add image, add text if you want. And it kind of just follows that same kind of format each time. So I've used all, like I use any email provider that just pops up. I've used Tiny Letter as well. I don't really like Tiny Letter because it formats really weird.
Really weird.
But yeah, I've used Tiny Letter, formatted it beautifully in the software, sent it, and I was like, what in God's green?
And oh my God, it's
so, so upsetting. So yeah, I'd rather just go, Tiny Letter is owned by MailChimp, just use MailChimp to be honest.
There's Campaign Monitor as well, which is a little bit more for bigger companies, but they have really, really good layout. And the design side of it is quite on point. And their analytics are quite good as well. So Campaign Monitor is another one.
Yeah, definitely choose a provider that has solid analytics. What I found is that none of them are consistent.
No one's
analytics are the same. Like Revue has really decent ones and open rates and click-through rates. So at least having open rate click-through rates. MailChimp's really good at showing you where people have clicked and what links they've clicked on. So for those analytics, it's really useful. So I really like those. But in terms of actually growing the list, well, you need to know why you want to build an email list. Just because people told you to doesn't mean you should, but you definitely should. So if you have a business and you're not collecting email addresses, email is still the single best sales channel that you'll ever have.
Yeah.
It is like having someone's telephone number, except for having someone's telephone number. Like, you have direct access to their inbox. If Facebook goes away, if Instagram goes away, if Twitter goes away, how are you going to reach your customers? Email is still the best way for that. It drives most people's sales. I think the last stat was that like 40% of sales come from email, or 40% of some businesses' sales are actually driven by email. So it is a really valuable tool to have. I would definitely recommend, if you have a website, doing an above the fold opt-in. So that's just like something that really aligns with your listeners, whether that's a if you sell product, whether that's offering a discount to your for your product for people that sign up. That's like the easiest thing you can do if it's a really sought after product or service. I have the one page business plan is still a freebie. It was originally a one page business plan and goal setting guide, but I made the goal setting guide limited edition. And it was only available up until a certain date. So people signed up because it was limited. And then I kind of just kept the business plan because it works as a really nice opt-in. Like, I still get people opting into that pretty consistently every week. So having a really nice opt-in on your website is a great way to build a mailing list. If you have like an ebook, or maybe you have some blogs that you no longer circulate, you can kind of collate them and condense them down and put them in some really nice designed, like a nice designed PDF, and call it, I don't know, your free how to photograph flat lays design guidebook, or just take some really cool photographs so you can give away audio if you've recorded something. So yeah, just look at some websites and see the things that you've actually signed up for.
How long did it take you to grow your list to a point that you could then send things out, or did you do that from the get-go?
I think I set a precedent for sending things out every week. Or every foot. I think I went for an every week thing. I realized I could not maintain. Yeah. Then I went to every fortnight, and now I do it every month. I think I started straight away just to kind of set a precedent of, I'm going to be communicating with you, and I would like to give you things that I think are really valuable and things that I've learned along the way that you might not know about yet.
Yeah.
My mailing list is, I've got like 7 different mailing lists, man. I segment a lot. I'm really nerd out about this, but I think combined, we probably have a mailing list of about 8,000. I think one of these is probably between like 500 and 600 of that. Yeah. Pretty consistently. So I mean, it grows every week, and I send something out at least once a month. And I try to give away something free within those emails, whether that is something I've just spent like several hours designing the night before.
That is good, because that then helps with, obviously, that influences your copy. Yeah. But then that also influences whether people click the items within that, and then forward that over to friends as well. For the Wix, do the analytics also cover
it? Doesn't tell
when emails get forwarded over?
I don't think it does, you know. I need to double check.
Even if it doesn't, that definitely must happen. Must happen.
I would like to know, because all it shows me at the moment is how many people have viewed it, who's opened it, and the number of clicks that are there. So it doesn't tell me where they've clicked, which I find probably annoying. So I might move over to MailChimp just because I want better analytics for my emails, to be honest. But at the moment, Wix is holding me down. I can't, like, it's really straightforward, and I like it. So I'm going to chill with it for now. But yeah, that's how I'd recommend having an opt-in on your website.
Definitely helps.
How do you build yours? Do you build one?
No, we do it for clients. So cool. We've done it and literally everything you covered was like what we did. But for us, it was more so, I did it for like tech companies. So it's a different.
Yeah, that is a different kettle of fish. I've had to do that before to get beta testers.
Yeah, it's just,
that one was really cool though, because we built like a 3,000 person list.
The open rates are quite high because they expect that kind of marketing.
Yeah.
So when people expect email marketing, they're more likely to look out for it, and they're more likely to open it. Same thing with whether it's a fashion brand or beauty brand, then people expect you to send that and expect to have good deals. Like, I'm pretty sure Boohoo, Misguided, Glossier have like amazing open rates, because not only are their emails designed beautifully, which design also has a huge part to play, picking maximum 2 to 3 colors, so people can have a consistent image of your brand, definitely helps with the click rate. So the open rates, no, the click rate, sorry.
Yeah.
So a click through rate is what we call it. So yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
And the last question, my dear.
How do you ask strangers to come on your podcast? This was by the African Bohemian from the first ever ever Instagram live
ever. I spoke about this in our most recent episode, actually, about how to get people to come onto your podcast. Just to refresh my own memory, I think I said something along the lines of literally being honest and saying, hey, I've just started out this podcast. I found you from here. I went on your Twitter page and you was discussing this. I would love to have you on my podcast because this, and let me know, and then we can, and I can send you a doodle link.
I believe.
And then you can slot them in your slot them in. Tweet them, tweet people asking them for your email. It's regarding a podcast. Say, hey, hi, at blah blah blah. May I please have your email? It's regarding having you and a guest as a podcast as a guest.
Yeah. Usually a little bit of digging can get you someone's email address pretty quickly.
Yeah.
I believe we talked about emails on Nathan's episode. If they work for a company or a business or a brand that you really want as well, you can usually find someone's email address pretty quickly. You can also use LinkedIn if it's a business related show. You can just slide in the old in mails. I never read those, but you can do that. And they do come when I do log into LinkedIn, I usually see them. You can just ask and have, if you have stats, use them. If you don't, like Prisca said, just kind of say, I saw you were talking about this and blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of ways you can ask, but usually just asking, most people will say yes. Surprisingly, they have to be so busy and so important that they're like, actually, no, I can't, or I don't want to. most people do say yes. That's what I recommend. I think that's all of the listener questions. Do we have any on there? Or do we have any comments on Instagram Live? I think someone mentioned a microphone.
Someone said there's a cute little mic called Samson Meteor, which is great for starting. Thank you, Kirsten. It was Kirsten. I said someone. Oh, hey, so Kirsten. I didn't see the name. Thank you, Kirsten.
Thanks, folk. Getting started with Instagram Live. Well, Brandy,
when will this episode be out?
This will be out on Wednesday.
Okay, cool. It'll be out on Wednesday.
Fantastic. So you can hear it then. There was another question from Kirsten on Twitter about lessons from the festival. I really tried to condense this down to three. So if anyone knows, last year we ran a podcast festival called Shout Out Live. We had incredible, incredible, incredible lineup. The Brilliant Idiots featuring Shadowing the God and Andrew Schultz was there. Another round, BuzzFeed's Another Round with Heaven and Tracy was there. The Friend Zone with like Hey Friend Hey, like some really incredible, incredible, incredibly talented podcasters came. If you've met me one-on-one, you'll know that I hold so much trauma just from planning that festival because it was such a big event. So to condense that down into like the three biggest lessons I learned, that being ambitious is a beautiful, scary and dangerous thing to do. It definitely got us where we needed to be. It was an incredible day. It was a fantastic event. So do dream big, be ambitious, but also know when to say no. And that's going to feel really hard when basically everyone is saying you can have everything for your event that you ever wanted. Also be mindful of money. That was my second biggest lesson. So many things about events feel like they're going to be straightforward, but there are so many unexpected costs that came up. We had to hire lawyers at the very last minute. We had issues with the venue, and there's so many things that just really were so unexpected. Knowing how to do like a proper and comprehensive risk assessment is important. So just knowing that there are going to be things that you will not know. And I think even the most experienced event managers still have things that just go wrong on the day, and just being ready with the contingency. And I guess the third biggest thing is, have the strongest team around you. We did not have the strongest team around us, to be honest. And that made that really difficult because we did not have a lot of support in getting things done in a way that benefited us and the festival. And so it made it infinitely more stressful because it was really run by three people, me, FA, and the events organizer and manager. And we got really lucky with someone who we now work with to this day, Andrew, who's phenomenal, stepped in at the last minute and really just helped take over the sponsor relationships that I had massively neglected. Also, if you have sponsors, that's something to look out for as well. So those were probably the three biggest things, is that having a really good team, which we'll talk about, in which we would have talked about on Monday's episode, having a really good team, managing your money really well and being really prepared for the unexpected costs. And I mean, you need like a good 20% contingency for those, because they will slap you out of nowhere. So yeah, those are my three biggest lessons, but we could probably do like a whole like episode on that, because...
Which you should.
I will. I'm teaching... Oh, and I'm also teaching a growth strategies course, and one of the lessons is about mistakes made in business, and I have many. So we can get to sharing those. So that's it for listener questions.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening and watching us live as we did it. We did it, Presley. Yay! All right. See you guys later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
See all of that wicked wisdom that Prisca was sharing with us today. You need to go and follow her right now on Twitter and Instagram at Prisca Moyessa. Her feed is incredible. You will not regret it. Also, if you want to hire her or her team, visit moyessa.co. That's moyesa.co. And check out their content and, you know, hire her, pay a girl. You know, she's been doing the work. If you like how this podcast is sounding and you think you can do what I do, or you can do it better, then visit the Shoutout Network by going to shoutoutnetwork.co.uk. Be sure to follow Wannabe on Twitter and Instagram at Wannabe Podcast. And I think me and Prisca are probably going to do these sessions live. So make sure you're following on Instagram, because that's where we'll be doing that. If you're enjoying this podcast, please leave a review on iTunes. And to get extended show notes listing the tools and resources that we have talked about on this episode, visit wannabepodcast.com. The amazing Word Daily is updating the show notes every Wednesday. Thank you for listening. Bye.
I have a secret. I wore the wrong foundation for years. Then I discovered Il Makiage, the boldest new brand in beauty. With 20,000 five-star reviews and 50 shades of flawless coverage, their Woke Up Like This foundation is a bestseller for a reason. It's tough buying foundation online, but their Power Match quiz matched me perfectly. And with Try Before You Buy, you can try your shade free for 14 days. Take the quiz at ilmakiage.com/quiz. That's ilmakiage.com/quiz.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.